Thank everyone very, very much for coming. And we'll go back to the bottom of Chavav Mebeis. The Mishnah teaches us on Chavav Mebeis that a woman who was jailed by non-Jews because of a monetary claim, they say that her family owed money, they took her as a guarantee to pay the amount. So then we assume that even if the jailers took advantage of her, she's still permitted to her husband. The Mishnah taught, though, that if a woman was taken and jailed by non-Jews over a matter of life and death, so then she's prohibited to her husband. Because when the non-Jews take a woman and they convict her to kill her, so before they do the killing, they take advantage, and more than take advantage, they make her a zona, they make her a prostitute, they're mafkir her to all. So then maybe at one point she would do it willingly. If she did it willingly, she becomes prohibited to her husband. That's what the Mishnah taught. So the Gemara, we'll start with the Gemara. I'm Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, I'm a Rav. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak says in the name of Rav, Lo Shanu Ela Shiyad Yisrael Tkifa Lo Vdei Kochavim. When do we say that if she was jailed for money, that she's still permitted to her husband because they wouldn't turn her into a mufkeret, they wouldn't make her into a prostitute. So she'd be permitted to her husband if she was violated, it was against her will. That's only if their Jewish authority is stronger than the non-Jews. But if the goyim are in charge, and they're not worried to do anything, they can do whatever they want. So even when they took her for money, they might misuse her, and they might be mafkir her lesnus, and then Asur Labala, she is prohibited to her husband.
Do they talk about if the Jewish authority is non-Torah abiding or not?
No, why did I mention that?
That's a Jewish neshama, that's it.
Masiv Rava, so Rava asked, we learned a Mishnah in Masechet Edios. The Mishnah says, Hey, Yudhub Yossi, a coin from Zachari ben Akatsa. Masechet Edios is a series of testimonies about different halachos. Rav Yossi HaKohen and Shechai ben Akatzav testified al Bas Yisrael about a Jewish girl, Shehur Hana Ba'ashkelon. Now, this is different. Till now, we're talking about where the non-Jews take a Jewish woman for a debt or for a legal issue. Here it was where a Jewish family owed money, and they couldn't pay the money. So they said, okay, here, take our daughter. She'll be the guarantee that we'll pay the money. So they handed over the daughter as a guarantee to non-Jews in Ashkelon. So what happened afterwards? Rechaku abnei mishpachta. Her members of her family didn't want to be with her. They said that she had been abused. However, she had witnesses who said that she had been taken as a guarantor, she had been given as a guarantor, but she had not been intimate, nor had she even been alone in a room with her cat, with those who held her. The sages said, if you believe that, you believe the witnesses that the family had handed her over as a mashkon, Haminu also believed the witnesses, Shalonistra Vishlanitma, that she wasn't alone and she didn't become defiled. If you say we don't believe the witnesses that she wasn't defiled, then Al Tamina Shurana. So don't believe the witnesses that she was even given over as a mashkon. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Ashkelon Diyadov de Kocham Tkifal Atzma. Ashkelon is a place where the non-Jews are in charge. As Rashi says, it's Eretz Plishtim. And by the time that the Tanayim were speaking, the Jews had already left Israel. Israel was under the Romans. The Romans were in charge. So the non-Jews are in charge. The Katani, nevertheless, the Mishnah says, Huranain. When the family had given her over as a mashkon, then we said that we had this problem. That's why we needed witnesses. But it sounds like Nechbisha, if the family had not handed her over, but rather there was a loan and the police came and grabbed her against her will. And now in such a case, it's not like a mashkon. We know that the law of a mashkon is after a period of time, a person holds on to the mashkon as the debt. If you give a collateral, if the loan's not paid, then a person holds on to the collateral. So here, as Rashi says, Hura nadzimi das, if she was given over as a guarantor, given the igiazman velo niftes, once the time would have arrived for the loan and she's still not redeemed, harei shalov de kochav medineit, in the non-Jewish law, she belongs to the non-Jews. Mishamachi, that's what we needed, be'in an aid, we needed witnesses, midinosa shalom nistra, that she hadn't spent time alone with any of the captors. But in our case of the Mishnah, nech b'sha, where she's just taken by police, reina nechlet eslehem, that's not, she's not, doesn't have the status in non-Jewish law of collateral. They're not going to eventually take her, they're just holding her as a hostage. So then lo b'in an edim, it sounds like we don't need witnesses. Since it was only for the sake of money, we don't need witnesses, we know that they would not be mafkir her. And since they wouldn't be mafkir her, so then, if she was violated, it would be against her will. She'd still be permitted to her husband. Answer the Gemara, no. Who had said, the truth is, afilu nich b'sha. Even if police come and they take a Jewish girl as a hostage, and not that the parents came and gave the Jewish girl as a collateral. Even if the police came and took the Jewish girl as a hostage because of a loan, the Jewish girl would be prohibited to her husband. Only if there are witnesses would she be permitted. Why in Adios did they talk about a case where the Jewish girl was handed over as collateral? It's Adios, it's testimonies. That's just what happened to be. They're telling you a story of what happened. But it's not to say that in a different case, the halacha wouldn't be the same. In the case of the Mishnah, also the halacha would be that there's a need for Edim in order to say she's Muteres, because it was a place of Yad Akum Tkifa where the non-Jews are in charge, and there they do whatever they want.
Rabbi, the girl is not married yet.
No, she was married. She was married.
She was married.
Yeah.
So why they say she's Jewish girl? She should be Jewish woman.
Then. Jewish woman, yeah.
Right?
Jewish
woman, yeah. Okay.
What does it mean that the non-Jews in charge versus Jews being in charge? What does that mean?
I think who's...
Majority?
Governing.
No, who's governing? Who's the sovereign? Who has police? Who has soldiers? Who has power?
I didn't understand Rabbi Rashi's statement that it's the land of Palestine.
Ashkelon, that's her, as she says.
So what does it mean? From originally?
The Plishtim lived there.
Yeah. So
no, hold on.
The Jews were never there.
No, but what does it mean? That it was Israel or it wasn't Israel?
No,
it was the land promised to Avram Avinu, but we never conquered it. It was conquered by the Plishtim.
That doesn't seem to make me understand that. Because Rashi is saying specifically this is not our land if he's saying that.
No, he's not saying it's not our land by Avraham.
He's saying who's the sovereign?
Who's in charge there? Saying that the Plishtim were in charge there, and even afterwards.
Meaning the Jews were never.
The Jews were never in charge.
Because they never conquered it as they were supposed to.
Yeah. That's right.
It's like my house. I own the house, but I'm not in charge. <Join the club. laughs> Ashkelon resident.
Water.
We're on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph now. Ika da Amri, there are others who said it this way. Amar Rava, Rava said, Afanan Nam Yitznina, we also have a Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Hey, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen and Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav, the Rabbi Yossi HaKohen and Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav testified, Al Bas Yisrael Shehura Naba Ashkelon, about a Jewish married woman, thank you for the correction, who had been handed over by her family as a collateral in Ashkelon. V'richakua b'nei mishpachta, and then when she eventually got out, her family members would not be with her. In other words, her husband wouldn't be with her anymore. Yet Adam, even unless she had witnesses who testified, Shalonis from Shalonitma, that she hadn't been violated. Famru Chachamim, the sages disagreed. They said, Imatim Aminim, Shehurana, you believe the witnesses that she was handed over as collateral. Aminus, who believed these witnesses.
that she wasn't defiled. If you don't want to believe the witnesses that she wasn't defiled, don't even believe the witnesses that she was ever handed as a collateral. There we're talking about a situation where a woman was arrested not for a criminal cause. It wasn't that she was going to be killed. She was taken because of money. The time on what did we see in the Mishnah? She had to have witnesses who testified that even when she was in the hands of the non-Jews, she wasn't violated. It sounds like if you didn't have witnesses testifying, then she would be prohibited to her husband. So that seems to be against our Mishnah. So my love, loshna hura and loshna nechbasha. Sounds like it doesn't make a difference how she ends up in the hands of the non-Jews, whether the family handed her as a collateral or the non-Jewish police came to take her as a hostage when they arrested her. Says the Gemara, it's not a proof. Lo hura na shiny. Maybe there we think that she was violated without witness, if there are no witnesses, because she was handed over by the family as collateral. And as Rashi explained, collateral, by definition, is for a period of time. And in the non-Jewish law, after that period of time was up, and the money hasn't been paid yet to the debt, then they view this woman as their property, as we see, unfortunately, in Iraq, and in Syria, and in Libya, with ISIS, that this is what they do. They take slaves, they take hostages, they take women as slaves. This is the old laws of the non-Jews. So their collateral would be different. Ika derami la mirma. Yeah, 1 second. Question?
What is the definition
of shehurhana? What's it? Hurhana? Shenit mashkina. Nilkechaz nitnake mashkon. She was given as a mashkon. Mashkon is collateral.
But this is an agreed collateral. That's not agreed. The ISIS is not a right comparison because they force the collateral and they set the rules. Money's going to be up. But
okay. But you see that type of way.
Had in the bad thing, they had collateral rules.
Not of taking a person as a collateral. Bezdin never takes a person as collateral.
But the ISIS is history repeats itself of Muhammad. That's how Muhammad was.
It's true. It's very true. They're literalists. Yeah. They're literalists of their faith. Ika diramula mirma. There are those who didn't talk about, you know, who's in charge, the Jews in charge or the non-Jews in charge, based on the Mishnah, but rather based on a contradiction. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, al yidei mamon muteres labayla. If the non-Jews took a woman because of monetary issues, so then they want to give her back. They're not going to be mafkir her, so she's permitted to her husband. Or a minu, but I'll challenge you. Hey, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi testified with Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatzav about a woman who the family had handed her over as a collateral to the non-Jews. But because there were witnesses, the sages said, she's still permitted. V'ashklon d'al yedei mamon. Now there was a situation of money. It's collateral. V'katan hitayim ad'edim eden osa. And there you had to have witnesses saying that she wasn't violated to permit it to her husband. So it sounds like if you didn't have witnesses, she would in fact become prohibited to her husband. That's against our Mishnah because there it's Mammon. And according to this version, Umashani, this was the answer that Amar Rav Shua Bar Rav Yitzchak Lokasha, it's not a contradiction. Kanshiyad Yisrael Tkifa Lov Dekochavim. That Mishnah in Adios. I was talking about where the non-Jews were in charge. But our Mishnah is when the Jews are in charge. That Mishnah was where the non-Jews were in charge over themselves.
But when they leave the woman, we're not in the position of the Lord Abba here?
No.
No?
No. It's against her will. But it's against her will. Karka Olam. Same way Esther didn't have to give up her life to avoid sleeping with Ahasuerus. She was forced.
But Rabbi, very hard to believe that the family would give their woman as a
collateral. Yeah,
I think they are taken as a collateral.
This case was that they gave. That was the case.
You know, because for sure they're going to take advantage of her.
Yeah, difficult.
Okay.
Okay, then the Mishnah says that if the non-Jews take a Jewish woman and jail her, al yedei nefashos, and they convict her that they're going to kill her, so then we know that they take advantage, and worse than taking advantage, they turn her into a slave for this pleasure. They make her, they mafkir her, they make her, they turn her into a loose woman against her will, they run her. So in such a case, then, even though she's saying she was raped many times, but we're worried, maybe one time she wanted it, one time it was willingly, and then she becomes prohibited to her husband. Amar Rav, Rav said, what are examples of where the non-Jews take the Jewish women and they turn them into sexual slaves? Kagon Neshei Ganvi, the wives of thieves. So what do the non-Jews do to thieves? They hang the thieves. So the Romans, they hang the thieves. Since they hang the thieves, the wives are then mufkaros. They make them, loose. Levi Amar, Levi said, Kigon Ishto Shel Ben Dunai. Like the wife of Ben Dunai. Rashi says his real name was Elazar Ben Dunai. He was a murderer. So his wife, the Romans, would be mafkir. This law of the Mishnah is only once the husbands were convicted to be killed. Rabbi Yochanan said, even before there was a decision that they should be killed, already they would be mafkir, the women. Next Mishnah. A city conquered by means of a siege. Let's say the Romans come, they put a siege around the city, nobody can come in, and the city puts up the white flag. Then kol kohanos shenimtso besocha psulos. All the kohanos inside are going to be prohibited to their husbands. Because we know what the Roman soldiers do, unfortunately. They rape any woman they can get their hands on. And a Jewish woman who is raped by a non-Jew, or even a married woman who is raped as a Kohen, if she's married to a Kohen, she's prohibited to a Kohen. But let's say these women have witnesses that they were not violated. Even if that witness is not a kosher witness normally, it's just a slave or a maid. And they'd be believed to say that this woman wasn't raped and she's permitted to her husband, the Kohen. However, the woman herself would not be believed to say that she wasn't violated and she is permitted to a Kohen. Says the Gemara, or Minu, I'll challenge you, we learned. Baleshes, a troop of soldiers that investigate, that, they put their hands on everything, they try to look for things. That's why in Hebrew, modern Hebrew, a detective is called a balash. So these are, from this word, baleshes, a troop of soldiers that come and they put their hands in everything. Shabala ir, they come into the city, bishat shalom, at a time of peace. Chaviyot petuchot, whatever barrels of wine are open are now asuros, are now prohibited because we know that these non-Jews are going to touch everything. And they have time, it's peace, they're not in the middle of a war. So since they have time, they're going to take some of the wine and they're going to pour it as an offering to their Avodah Zarah. So all the wine's going to be prohibited for as Yayin Nesach. Stumos, if the barrels are closed, Mutaros, so then they don't touch the wine, they don't do anything to the wine. The barrels are closed, and so the barrels are permitted. However, Bishat Mulchama, if there's a war, so even though these are soldiers that make themselves comfortable in people's homes, it's a war, they don't have much time. So even the open barrels would be permitted. There's no time for them to take some of the wine and pour it to their idol. Amar Rav Mari, said Rav Mari, even though there's no time because there's a war for them to worship their God, but time for them to rape there is. Livol yesh pnai, because when it comes to violating a Jewish woman, they have a yetzahara, and the yetzahara overwhelms them, and so we do assume that they violated the women, and the women would be prohibited to the kohanim, to their husbands. The naseich ain't pnai, even if there's no time, to be taking wine and pour it to their idol. Rav Yitzchak bar Elazar mishmei de Chizkia Amar. Rav Chizkia bar Elazar, in the name of Chizkia, in the name of Chizkia, said something else. But he said, our Mishnah that says that if the non-Jews have conquered it, the women are prohibited. But that Mishnah that says that if the non-Jews have gone through, but if they don't have time, then the wine is permitted. The resolution of this contradiction is the following. It depends who's doing the conquering. Is it a siege from the local non-Jews? Or is it a siege from other non-Jews from a different kingdom? If it's from the locals, so then they don't want to destroy this city. So they conquer the city and then they figure they're going to use it. However, if they're coming from a far place, so then they're going to destroy the city, and then the women will be violated. One second. Shalosa Malchus Nami. I don't understand. Even if it's local Gayim who conquer our city, but maybe one of them is going to escape, and he's going to violate Jewish women. When the local Gayim conquer us, and they have their guards watching each other to keep them under control, that's when we would have the law that the wine is permitted, and the women, therefore, would also be permitted. One second, but the guards are going to nap for a little bit. Let's say the local Gayim who conquered the city, so they then take their soldiers, they put them out of the city, and they surround the city with chains, the kalba, and dogs to bark if they go in, the gavza, the avza, and sticks to prevent people from coming in, and ducks to chirp if people come in. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda said, "Kligi ba Rabbi Yehuda Nasi of Rabbanan." This issue was a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda the Nasi and the rabbis. Chada Markan bekarkum shal osa malchus, kan bekarkum shal malchus acheres, velo kashalei velo midi. One said that one is talking about a situation of local non-Jews conquering and they're keeping, you know, law and order, and the other is talking about, our Mishnah is talking about where the siege is from people from far away, they don't keep order, and therefore the women were all violated. So it wasn't a contradiction between the two sources. V'chad kashule kolhani. And the other one had this problem, though. He said, I don't understand. If you're saying even a local non-Jew, but maybe one of the soldiers is going to go and take advantage. And he gave this answer. And we see that the local non-Jews who came are also surrounding the city with shushilta, with rope, with chains, v'kalba, and dogs, v'gavza, v'avza, and sticks, and ducks. Rav Yitzchak bar Asiyan said in the name of Rav Yitzchak bar Asiyan, going back to our Mishnah, if there is a hiding place, even one hiding place, matzelas al hakohanos kulan, that would save all the kohanos, all the wives of the kohanim, because each one can claim, I hid when the non-Jews were rampaging in town. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, what happens if this hiding place only can hold one woman? Would each woman, when she comes in front of us, we say, oh, she was the one who escaped and was hidden in that one place? Or maybe we wouldn't say that. So the Gemara says, why would this be any different than the famous question about two roads? And on one of the road there is a dead body buried, so that anybody who walks on that road becomes tame. Echa tame ve'echa tahor. One road has tuma on it, one road is tahor. V'alach be'echad mehen. And a person walked down the road, v'asa taharos, and he touched pure things. U'ba chaver v'alach b'sheni. His friend walked on the other road, v'asa taharos, and touched pure things. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says him, Nishal Zeb ifnei atzma v'zeb ifnei atzma. If each one asked on his own, the taharos that I touch, do I need to assume that they're tamei? Taharos, since it's a safik tum b'rishas harabim, they are tahar, because safik tum b'rishas harabim is tahar. Each one, we don't know if he's tamei, he's tahar. However, if shneim kachas, if they both come together to ask us, so now if we're going to say that they're both tahar, it's an impossibility, because one is certainly tamei. Then tameos. And Rabbi Yossi, says, ben kach uven kach tamei. Both ways, you have to say they are tamei, because one is certainly tamei. Amar Rava v'yitem Rabbi Yochanan. Rava, some say Rabbi Yochanan said, b'vas achas tevi hakol tamei. Everybody agrees that they come together, they're tamei. B'zeh achar zeh, came one after the other, tevi hakol tahor, and everybody agrees that they're tahor. Lo nechkul b'val yishol olav al chaveru. The question is, if I came to ask about myself and about my friend, so Marmar Damei l'b'vas achas, one Tana holds that that's as if they came together. The other Tana holds it's as if they came one after the other. So therefore, Achanami here too. Even the Shari Lahula Kulu, if we're going to allow all the women, it's as if they're all coming at once. So how could we assume that they're Tahar? He says, what's the comparison? There we're dealing with an issue where we know there is a dead body on one of the roads. But here, the whole halacha is not based on certainty. We're saying that the non-Jews come in, they probably violated the women. Maybe the non-Jew or soldiers who came in after the siege were moral and they didn't violate the women. So here there's more room to be lenient. But Rav Ashi asked the following question. Amrav, there was a situation of a siege, and non-Jews came into the city. And this woman says, Lo nichbeisi v'lo nitmeisi. There is a hiding place. But she's honest. She says, I wasn't in the hiding place, but by the way, I also was not violated. So Mahu, what do we say? Do we say that she's believed based on Migu? Do we say Mali l'shaker? This doesn't sound like a liar. A liar would have been the one who would say, I was in hiding. Or maybe we don't say this Migu. Says the Gemara, Maishna me'ahu maisa. Why would this question be any different from the following story? There was a fellow who rented his donkey to his friend. Amalei said to his friend, Lo tezil b'urchadinar pekod. I'm renting you my donkey, but on condition that you don't lead my donkey on the road next to the Pekod River, or the river basin, more accurately. Dikamaya, because there's water there, the donkey's going to slip, it's going to break its neck and die. Zil b'urchadinar. I'm letting you rent my donkey on condition that you go on the road of Narash to Lekamaya, because there's no water there. And what did this guy do? He went on the road of Nahar Pekod. And the donkey died. He came to Rava. Amarle, he said, in Burch the Nahar Pekod Asli, I did go on the road of Nahar Pekod. But the guy who rented me the donkey didn't want me to go down Nahar Pekod because of the water that was there. When I was there, there was no water. So therefore, since there was no water, I was allowed to go there. And therefore, I shouldn't have to pay for the loss of the donkey. So Amar Rava, Rava said, Mali l'shaker. If he's a liar, he would have said he'd gone down the road of Narash if he was a liar. So he has a migu. Since he didn't say that, and that would certainly have worked, therefore, when he says he went through Nahar Pekod, but Nahar Pekod was dry, he should be believed. Amrile Abaye, Abaye said to Rava, I don't understand. You don't say that a migu works when you have witnesses against it. So here, he's saying he went through Nahar Pekod that was dry. It's not possible. We know Nahar Pekod is always wet. So it's as if there are witnesses against what he says. Achi Ashta, what's the comparison? So what do we see there? We see that we don't say Mali L'Shaker in a case when we know that that it can't be that way, that there are witnesses that it wasn't that way. So therefore, the same here as well. We couldn't say Mali L'Shaker that she wasn't violated, because if there are non-Jews in the town, it's almost as if there are witnesses that she was violated. The Gemara says, no, it's not comparable. Hachi Hashta, what's the comparison? Hasam over there, Vada Ika Edom Dika Maya. when you talk about Nahar Pekod, there are witnesses that there's water there all the time. But here when we talk about a woman who's saying that she wasn't violated, is there a certainty that she was violated? When you have non-Jewish soldiers again, it's just a fear. So it's just a fear that she was violated. So now that she has a migu, to discount the fear, the migu should be believed. Therefore, she should be believed. Then the Mishnah said, if there are witnesses that she wasn't violated, even if those witnesses are a slave or a mage, they are believed. Ask the Gemara, what type of a maid? Even her own maid would be believed. Or a minion, I'll challenge you. There's a halacha called get yashan. If a dying man gives his wife a get because he doesn't want her to have a situation of yibum or chalitza, so she's not allowed to be alone with him, because if she's alone with him, maybe they'll be intimate, and we don't. That makes a problem with the get, because we don't want a situation of a get having occurred before the birth of a child. Or Mini, I'll challenge you, we learned Lotus Yachet Imo. Once this woman got her get from her sick husband, she can't be alone with him. LLP Adam, unless there is a witness there with her, and then we know that they won't be intimate. Vafilu LP Evet, the witness can be a slave. Vafilu LP Shifcha, the witness can be a maid. Chutzmi Shifchasa, except for her maid, initially Bagasma Shifchasa, she's not uncomfortable being intimate with her husband in the presence of her maid. So here you see that her own maid is not believed, and yet we are deriving from the Mishnah, or inferring from the language of the Mishnah, that her own maid would be believed about her. Amrav Papi, Rav Papi said b'shvuya ikilu. Again, our Mishnah is talking about a woman taken captive. So here we want to be lenient. Rav Papa, Amrav Papa answered b'shivcha dida, b'shivcha dide. One is talking about her maid, one is talking about his maid. Shifcha dida lo mehemna. Is that so? You're saying that her own maid wouldn't be believed? Hakatani, but didn't the Mishnah end off by saying Einada meid al atzmo? The woman can't talk about herself. Hashifcha dida mehemna. That implies that her maid could talk about her. And so the Gemara, when it says that she can't talk about herself, that includes her maid, because her maid is considered part of herself. Shifcha sanami ka atzma dami. Her maid is like herself. Rav Ashi said, "Avav shifcha dida." There's no contradiction between Gittin and Ksubos. Both are talking about her maid. Shivcha mech zechazia. The point is that a maid would see things. Vishatka, and she would be quiet about it. So Hassam, over there, Dishtikasa mati rasa lo mehemna. There where she, the maid is just going to say, I was there. So she is not believed based on the maid, because we're worried that the maid might not talk about the intimacy that happened. Hacha, but over here, Dishtikasa osrasa. If she's just quiet, she says, I was around. That's not enough. She has to say, I saw that she wasn't violated. So now when she's actively saying, I saw she wasn't violated, mehemna, that she is believed. So therefore, hashtanami, one second the Gemara says, but maybe hashtanami, since she loves her mistress, she might kamu meshakra, she might lie and say that her mistress was not violated when she was. It says Tati lo avta. The maid wouldn't do two things. She wouldn't both be quiet when her mistress gets violated, and then come and falsely testify about it. Ki had Mari bar Isaac, like the story with Mari bar Isaac. Amri loy was Chana bar Isaac. Asale acha mi bechuza, a fellow of acha. His brother came from bechuza. And Mari bar Isaac was a very tough guy. Amale, he said, Plogli benichsa da Abba, give me half of father's possessions. Amale lo yodan aloch, I don't know that you're my brother. That's what Mari bar Isaac said. Also, the commander of Chizda, they went to Rav Chizda, Amale shapik amaloch. He may not know you. Yichsev, as it says, Vayakir Yosef, es echa, v'heim lo hikiruhu, that when the brothers came down to Egypt, they didn't recognize Yosef, but he recognized them. Because Yosef now had a beard. Amalei, Rav Chisda said, Zilai Sisada Dachuat, bring witnesses that you are the brother of Mari Bar Yitzchak. Amalei said, Isli Sadi, I have witnesses of Mr. Finumine. They're worried about Mari Bar Yitzchak, the Gavra Ilmu, because he's a very tough guy. Amalei, so he said to him, Zilai Sinaat. So you need to bring witnesses that he is not the son of your father. So Mari Bar Yitzchak said, Dina Hachi, what's my chaver all of our rayos? That fair? I mean, he wants me to pay. He should have to bring the witnesses. So he said to him, Hachi, l'kuli alma chavrach. That's the way I judge you and all the tough guys like you. So the Gemara says, but still, but maybe he's going to get witnesses who will lie because people are afraid of him. Says the Gemara, Tarti lo avdi. People are not going to do two things wrong. To one, not say the truth and also to lie falsely, that not. So to a woman, a maid, even a maid of this woman, she's not going to do two things, both to see her mistress violated and also not to say the truth. Keep that up here.
So the maid,